Let us join together in our prayer for illumination, saying as one, let there be light in our minds, O Lord, sent through the reading and the hearing of your word. In its rich treasures may we discover guidance and teaching for the living of today. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
The reading scripture leading this morning is coming from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritances, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
Good morning, how are you? So, can I ask you a question? Has anybody ever dressed up for Halloween here? Raise your hand. Everybody has. Did you ever see somebody that you didn't recognize? Like if Danny dressed up as a Ninja Turtle one year, did you forget that it was him? Did you ever not recognize him? No? Okay, so something funny happened to me last week. These four girls that cheerlead with Emily, and I know them very well. I smile at them. They all have nice short brown hair, big smiles, big eyes, and they say, hi, Mrs. Kaiser, and I say, hi, Abby, hi, Gabby, hi, Annabelle, and the last one's name is Caroline. So I say hi to them all the time, and I know them. They're so friendly to me. But last week, I got to dress them as lionesses in the play. And all week long, I kept saying their names because all they had on was their costumes, and I could say hi to them. But then they got their hats on, and they put masks, the makeup on. And the four little girls, they looked all the same. And I couldn't figure out which one was Gabby, which one was Abby, which one was Caroline, which one was Annabelle. And I just kept saying to them, because I didn't want to make them feel bad that I didn't know them, I just kept calling them, hey, cheerleader, because I knew they were the cheerleader group, right? So I couldn't figure it out. So the story today is about people that just couldn't figure out what Jesus was talking about. He said, you fed me, you clothed me, you did all these wonderful things for people, but they said, we didn't do those things for you. But Jesus said to them, you did all those wonderful things for other people. You showed kindness to other people. And when you're doing that for me. So I'm only going to talk about the good part with the sheep. And then you listen to Mrs. Cohn about the goats, because I know she always says in our Bible studies, we don't ever want to be a goat. So let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these beautiful children. Let them always know that Jesus is in their heart. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, I stand before you a humble service. Rid me of myself. I belong to you. Use me to proclaim your word so that the words I say bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Jess, that wasn't my obvious original opening prayer, but how appropriate for us today to say, rid me of myself, Lord, I belong to you. And Rob, I can't go without your beautiful words. I stand in awe as well of our loving Savior, because this is terrifying to me, and I'm just honored to be able to stand here before you. Part of my challenge of the Lord is the faith to not read my message off of paper. So you're going to see me perhaps in fear go this way, but I'm going to really do my best to honor the Lord today and to really share with you what's in my heart as I'm moving along. So as you know, I am a teacher, a second grade teacher, and all day long, I either listen to stories, Mrs. Cohen, it gets crazy, or I tell stories. I've learned that stories create connections. I can teach just about anything if I throw the word Christopher or Caitlin into a two-minute story before. It captivates us. It catches our attention. Well, Jesus was a masterful storyteller. Sorry, Kate. He was a masterful storyteller. And many of the parables that he taught captivated people's attention. They created a relationship, and within that relationship is where learning takes place. The Lord uses that to captivate us. So I have to start out with a very serious confession. Those of you who know me well know that this story scared me to death, literally scared me to death. It would come up in Bible study, and I would almost shut down, because I'm not even going to share with you my original interpretation. This is what I was always thinking. I'm standing on the longest line of my life, which for me was in college, where you have to register the old days on paper. So I'm standing on this line, only at the end of the line is my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he's going left, right, whichever direction I'm pointing. And as I move up the line, I'm thinking, all right, I got this. I feed the poor sometimes. Never visited anyone in prison. All right, I'm okay. And as I get to the end of the line, something really weird happens. I start looking around and I go, let me point to my husband. I'm better than him. He's definitely a goat, so I'm okay. I'm good. And, you know, as I ran through this in my head, I said to myself, wow, this really doesn't sound like Jesus. You know, this doesn't sound like something Jesus would do, but you know what? My brain and my heart weren't connected. Didn't know how to explain what the right thing was. So I'm glad to say that over the past 6 years or so, as serving as an elder, as having some family challenges, my interpretation of this parable has changed. not because I had this magical veil raised from me, but what I realized was my relationship with the storyteller changed. As I got to know Jesus better, my relationship with him changed. So when I saw on the lectionary that the sheep and goats passage was coming up, I quickly opened an eye scan. I said, ah, Rob, it's all you, Rob. I got nothing to do with this one. But the truth is, I emailed Pastor Chris, and in the back of my head, I know what he's going to say to me. I know what he's going to say to me because the Holy Spirit's saying it to me. And in my head, I'm going, okay, if he challenges me, the Lord's talking to me, and I got to get this one. And what, of course, does he email back? I think his exact words is, I thought you could take this one. Really, God? Take this one? Do you know how much this kills me? Of course, I said yes, and I stand before you today. So I went into this part, this form of prayer that I kind of go in. My husband kind of says this whole week I've been out of it. And I'm trying to explain to him it's not out of it, it's just a different type of, when you lose yourself, there's something happens to you. And I prayed about it. And I realized this isn't, it is a story of judgment. Don't get me wrong, there is judgment in the story. But more powerful than judgment is a story of love and grace and growth. So I'm going to just take a couple minutes. I didn't time it out. I'm hoping that it's not long, but I'll, you know, you're laughing because you know that we always complain. You're long-winded. It's okay. Oh, sorry, people. That was our secret. So as we think about love, the parable opens with this grand scene. I envision, you know, all these people, kind of like my college line, and Jesus is separating. They're being separated to the left and the right, and the people on his right, he says, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Now, that's not a random invitation. It's not in my mind where he's going left, left, right. Those chosen people from the beginning of time. Well, does that mean that I'm walking on this line? It's got nothing to do with me? Chosen from the beginning of time? That can't be right. That just can't be right. But the truth is, it is. God chose us. God chose to share his love with us from the beginning of time. See, as humans, we love to think that we created this love, that, oh, I can love Mike because I'm just so wonderful, and he's lucky to have my love. But the reality is, love is not ours. It's not ours. Love comes from our Heavenly Father above. It's not ours. I refer to, see, here's why I have to go back. John, 1 John, it says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves who has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. We think about that because as the people are finding out that they're sheep, you know, perhaps they're jumping for joy. But they ask a very interesting question, and they say, well, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger in prison? Lord, when did we see that? I would have maybe, you know, done a little bit more, perhaps. They ask that question because love that was in them was not from them. It wasn't for them to give away. They were simply the vehicle. The love that comes from our God was passing through them. They weren't trying to be kind to someone because they were able to do that. That love that they were sharing was originally from God above. And that's where that part of love comes into the story. Because we like to think that it's us, what we do, what we say. But the truth is, it's not. Jesus then turns to those on the left. I figure I should get my left and right before the end of the message. Turns to those on the left. And he says to them, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And then Jesus goes on and he says all the times that they did not care for him. You did not care for me when I was hungry, thirsty, lonely, in need of clothes, or in prison. And the interesting thing is the people on the left have that same reaction. God, truth. When did we see you sick, thirsty, hungry, not clothed? You know, when did that happen? We didn't even see you. And right about now, I'm thinking, oof, wow. I bet they're wishing they would have known it was Jesus, because perhaps they would have acted differently. But I contend to you that they would not have acted differently, because it wasn't their choice. The love of God was not in their heart. And God, love born from God must be in your heart. Perhaps they didn't know who God was. Perhaps nobody had ever spoken that to them. But it's not a choice. It's not a choice to say, I'm going to love you, but I'm not going to love you. Love comes from God, and if God is in you, you are chosen. So what do you do with that love? It's great. God's in me, I hope. You know, I hope he's there. What do you do with it? You have to share it. You can't just hold it into yourself. I refer to 1 John where it says, whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother and sister is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Love is an important part in this story because it takes it in somewhat out of our hands. We have to first agree that love comes from God. It belongs to God. It is a true gift given to us from God. And as believers of Christ in God and followers, we have to share that love. Have to share that love. It's not ours to hoard. So I move on to my second thought that came to mind was the grace component. And I always say I thank Jesus for grace because I know that if I was had to rely on myself, that would not go well. We know that love comes from God because he loved us first. And you can't earn your way into heaven. In this parable, Jesus raises up specific people and expectations of groups of people for us to pass that love to, hungry, thirsty, lonely, poor, and prisoners. And we are expected to pass that love and care on to them. And again, my humanness, which I wear on my sleeve a lot, probably should have a better self-esteem, but I kind of share that with you. I say, whoa, Lord, again, I shared with the poor sometimes, but I don't know about you, but I have walked past a poor person before. I have never stepped foot in a prison. I sometimes don't donate my old clothes because it's easier to throw them away. I don't buy things. So what does that mean for me? I'm sharing God's love that lives in me, but I'm not sharing it all the time. Wow, that leaves quite a dilemma for me. I can't earn my way in. I don't share it all the time, and the love's not mine. Well, enter Jesus Christ. And John 3:16, I was searching for passages to support this, and of course, I couldn't think of any. So in the middle of the night, John 3:16 pops up, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting because it's so obvious. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. This love that comes from God that we are expected to share would be nothing without the grace of Jesus Christ. See, the grace of Jesus Christ allows us to step out of our comfort zone. It calls us out of our comfort zone. It allows us to do things not fear the mess, I call it the messing up factor. You know, if I had to stand before you today and God was judging whether I was doing a good job or a bad job and there was no grace, I'm not so sure which side I would be on. But the love of Jesus Christ reminds us that grace is a key component of that love. Without grace, we're all goats, if there was there. So grace, look at that. When we have grace, we are able to share the love of Christ with everyone. And lastly, for the three parts, is growth. How does a story of love and grace lead to growth? Well, the first thing I think it does is it helps us to realize that the love that lives inside of us is a gift. It doesn't belong to us. It can't stay with us. And if it does, perhaps we need to rethink what we're doing. God loves me not because I am spectacular, although some people tell me I am. Some people tell me I'm not spectacular. But love is not mine to keep. I have to give it away. And I've learned that this love that the Lord has for me and for you, and this grace that allows us to serve other people, creates this type of excitement that nothing else in the world can create. And I love that growth part because it's something as humans we can actually watch and see in other people. And we see it in ourselves. Growth means that I'm not the same person I am today as I was yesterday. For me, this personal growth has been a walk that I don't know if I would have embarked on if you told me 6 years ago, oh, this is what you're going to be doing. I would have been very much afraid because it makes me feel insecure. It makes me feel like I'm very vulnerable. But at the same time, as my love relationship with my Savior, Jesus Christ, has changed, my attitude toward growth has changed. Because I know that in order to fulfill my role in this world, I have to accept the love of Christ. I have to push that love of Christ forward. And when that happens, I will naturally grow and become the person that my Heavenly Father has created me to be. During Lent, there's another aspect of growth I think we need to think of, and really that is the growth of God's kingdom. A goat today doesn't have to be, perhaps, a goat tomorrow. The nice thing about this story is that it's a foretelling. It hasn't happened yet. Growth is the marvelous space where we can take the love of our Savior, Jesus, of God, the forgiveness and grace of Jesus Christ, and push it outward. This is what Lent reminds us. As we watch Jesus walk this road of pain and torture and teaching and crucifixion, it was uncomfortable for him. But the growth that came with his resurrection was amazing. If we, during this time of Lent, think about our walk with Christ, the love, Jesus, and sharing, the growth of God's kingdom can be magnified. This story is to remind us that we're not done yet. We have a lot of work to do. And I think that there's confidence in this story. I'm not afraid of it like I was before. I feel like I have a lot more work to do instead of just sitting around and wondering, because, you know, it's a lot more of an active type of love. It's not something that is, I can't sit home and wait for that day to come. As Jesus was leaving this earth, he said to his disciples, and I always say, wow, if he said it to his disciples back in Bible times, we're his disciples now, maybe we can take some good information from this, and it's the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the end of the age. We are privileged to participate in this kingdom of God and Jesus. Perhaps, just perhaps, our obedience to our Heavenly Father can lead to a hardened heart softening. Just kind of a weird aside. Oh, it's not up there. On the bulletin, you'll notice there is an hourglass. Ah, wow, you are so good. Thank you. You'll notice that there's an hourglass. And that hourglass kind of became a symbol for me. When I learn or think about something, usually a song or a visual picture reminds me of something. So I want to share with you the hourglass, because when I first prayed about preparing this sermon, I saw an hourglass. And again, take from what it is when I say to you, I saw an hourglass, it literally popped in my head repetitively. So I try not to ignore things like that. There's an hourglass. I said, well, I have no idea what that means, but hopefully by the end of this preparation period, I'm going to figure it out. So for me, when I see an hourglass now, I think of the top. And that is the free love that comes from God. It comes down through us. It's love. You didn't earn it. You didn't get it. It's there. That's the love. The neck, which I tried to research to see if there were fancy names for this hourglass, apparently the best I could do was neck. And that's the narrowest part of the hourglass. And I think of that part as being me. Sometimes in my life, that neck was very narrow. Very little sand could go through that piece of that hourglass. I had a lot of love on the top, but the neck was narrow. There were other times in my life where that neck was broad, and it allowed the sand, the love of God, to flow down into the bottom and fill the bottom, which for me became the world. God's love free through me to the bottom. So this story of love, grace, and growth to me is symbolized in that hourglass. The bottom line for me is that the love that we have is meant to be shared. It's not a passive love. It's not, you know, saying to someone, oh, I love you, and watching them, you know, suffer and walk away. The love that comes from God is that active love. We need to share that active love with all people. Christ is coming back again. We know that. It's not here yet. We have a lot of work to do. Perhaps, and just perhaps, the Lord is calling you, calling me, to help turn a goat into a sheep. Because with God, all things are possible. So, during this time of Lent, the parable, written through the eyes of judgment, calls us to examine ourselves. It calls us to examine all that we say and do. If we proclaim with our mouths that we are true followers of Jesus Christ, the love of God will flow through us. You can't have it both ways. You can't proclaim with your mouth that God is your Lord and Jesus is your Savior if that love is not flowing. I don't see any other way around it. God gives you the love. If it's there, it has to flow. So we need to examine ourselves first. Am I passing that along? And the truth is, the love can't be contained. If you love your God, it creates this excitement, almost, I want to say excitement, but fear as well. Excitement and fear, and it allows you to do things that you would not normally be able to do. God's perfect love cares for all of his people, especially those the world forgets. And it's so powerful, it can change goats into sheep. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be used to deliver your word. Lord, I pray that you help us to examine ourselves during this period of Lent. We know that you are God. We know you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to us. Give us strength, give us courage and power to share and pass that along to everyone we meet. Lord, you are powerful. Your kingdom has not yet come. Use us to change, perhaps, goats into sheep. Amen. As for a change today, we would like to ask you to rise and share the Heidelberg Catechism question number one. The Heidelberg Catechism, for me, when we had talked about maybe doing this, this answer always brings me to tears. And it brings me to tears because it reminds me of who I am. It reminds me of the servitude that I am, and it reminds me of the love that my Lord and Savior has for me. So, people of God, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has sent me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him.